right. Thank you again for having us. It is June. We are in Terre Haute. When I say June, you kind of shake your head.
I just can't believe it. I would say it every month. It's like this year's going by fast. It's almost half over now.
It is. And we were just talking beforehand that you're already working on the budget. But yeah. But just like we said, time goes by fast, and that has to be done by, what, September?
Yeah, by October. We do it in October because it has to be all completed by November 1st. So basically in October, you wrap it up. It's an ongoing process, and here we are again, you know, putting another budget together. It goes so quickly.
Summer events in full swing now in Terre Haute?
What's going on? Well, we had our Wabash Valley Festival recently down on the Wabash River here at Fairbanks Park. One of the best ones we've had since I've been in office. Really very well attended. The weather was perfect. Everybody made money down there from that perspective. It's just a great community event with a huge turnout. So I felt really good about that. Deming Park Pool, you know, being open now and going full swing. That's been an exciting thing to see. We've had some really great attendance. So yeah, summer's in full swing.
So last year there was some concern over the pool needed repairs. Mm-hmm. Those were, though, more short-term fixes.
Well, it's a little bit of both. We did some short-term things, and we left one big thing for this year. We got that done in the spring, so we've got the splash pad and the pool. All the repairs are completed now. So we're feeling pretty good about the position that Deming Park Pool's in.
And is baseball underway, too?
Rex got started. I threw out the first pitch last week for their first game. Looks they're playing about 500 ball right now so far, but it's just an exciting thing that goes on in our community every summer, and you know the crowds have still been good again, even though it's a little bit hot already. Usually June's not this warm, but they've had some good crowds for their first home games.
I see City Council met, I believe, last week. Are any agenda items either in the past or coming up that residents should be aware of?
I don't think there's anything too big. You know, we'll be giving a financial update really soon here to upcoming council meeting. We'll be talking budgets here when we get into August specifically. So I think there'll be some financial updates and things like that, but really nothing earth-shattering coming up here for the next couple of months besides some financial updates.
No, I have to bring up the jail because it seems like now that progress is starting to go a little bit backwards. Mm-hmm. The spot was picked, and then...
But it's slowed down. I would agree with you.
Now they're kind of thinking about maybe the size of the jail.
There's two things going on. One is they need to find another location. So I know they're looking at two or three locations, primarily to the south part of the community. But then also getting a little bit of pushback from some people, especially those that want to do more mental health and addictions programs and services. They're saying that maybe the jail needs to be a little bit smaller and there needs to be an investment, maybe even by some others besides the county, in some of these other type of facilities. So I think it's a good discussion, but we still need a place to house people, even if they're getting treatment. And you know, I just listened to a presentation in Indianapolis last week that was really good. A couple different counties who have mental health and addictions programs in their jails. And the inmates that actually came to this presentation and shared their story said if they weren't in a jail setting doing this, they probably wouldn't be doing it. And so that just reinforces my thinking that, yeah, you still need to lock people up and they still need treatment. How do you find a way to accomplish that? It still needs to be in a facility that's big enough to handle that. So whichever way the county goes, I'll be supportive, but I think we just need to be really smart about building something that's big enough to handle our future needs and including that mental health and addictions component.
So is that where, just from what, you know, your talks and your discussion, is that where it's at right now? Is it at the size?
And I think they've already looked at reducing some size, and I still think they're going to continue to do that. But it's the location, too. It's both of those things, because both of those tie directly in how you pay for it, what it's going to cost, and where the funds are going to come from. So if they have to go buy a piece of property now that they can't use the one they already owned, or if they're going to downsize the jail, of course, that could be a positive effect. That's what they're working through right now.
And then there's a funding part, of course, to that whole jail as well, which at one point you were hoping for a slice of that, what could be a potential income public safety tax of sorts. But there's been nothing new on that either.
Nothing new at all. You know, I'm sure there's probably some private discussions going on, but there's been nothing public at all. And I'm hopeful they'll still get that figured out where we'll get a piece of that. You know, we've lost so much through property tax caps that we need a little bit of reinforcement to our budget, and that would provide it. And so we all then would win from that perspective. The community benefits from, you know, still a high level of public safety. We get a new jail. And we're only taxing people for monies that are actually needed to do something. It's not just so we can go do something extra special. It's what we need today to serve the community.
And I know you said you're working on budget developments. It takes a lot of your time, a lot of work.
It does.
Any developments in terms of reducing that deficit without the extra income that you've been hoping for?
Well, we're going to knock at least $1 million a year off of that. So, you know, we'll get it down to 7 this year for sure if we don't do anything else. We're going to be talking to the council about using some other funds to offset some of that load on the general fund this year and again next year in the budget. And I'm very hopeful they'll be supportive of that. And so I think maybe we can even put a little bit bigger dent in it than what we did last year.
There was a report in the Tribune Star last week saying the city is getting an advance of $2 million in property taxes. And we talked, I believe, a couple months ago, too, about the cash advance. So is the city not getting the projected income?
No,
still?
It's not that. It's just, you know, the county collects all of their money on May 10th, basically. You know, there's always a few stragglers that come in late, but they collect the money and then they invest it and then they disperse it once they go through their calculations by the end of June to all the taxing entities. And by law, you can ask for an advance on that. And so we've done that every year. And so we'll do that again in the fall also, that we'll ask for an advance on our money that will be coming in June. And so, you know, that's what we did, and they delivered that last week, and so that one's behind us.
There just seems to be some people that are worried, just from what I'm reading in these reports, about the budget and meeting and not maybe necessarily agreeing with the way that the mayor is working with the funds.
I guess everybody has an opinion. And so, of course, the people that make the complaints offer no alternative solutions to anything. And so, you know, typical fashion, we're doing everything by the book. We're managing things just like we need to. We have lost, you know, we'll be approaching $100 million here in the next couple of years of money we've lost. And so if anybody thinks that somehow you just, you know, that there's not going to be some bumps in the road, that's just a ridiculous assertion. But number two, we've done a tremendous job, because if we'd not done anything, if we managed the budget, we had been on the whole much more than $8 million. And so it's all about cash flow. You know, we get money in June and we get December, and we need to be able to fund those first 6 months. And so asking for an advance based on state law allowing you to do that, why wouldn't you take advantage of something like that?
Along with the budget issues, I see that about last month, a report came out about police pension funds decreasing, the question about where that money was going. I see that kind of came up again.
Uh-huh.
Why?
Well, I think there's some retired officers that are concerned that somehow there's a lot of rumors out there. And so first of all of the money that goes into those pension funds are property tax dollars. And then we get reimbursed from the state later. So what we've been doing since 2003, before I got here, is paying for the retirement amounts that they get paid in their normal paychecks, and healthcare costs is related to retirees as part of their contract, and then our pension secretary. So we have a person that's responsible to oversee it for them. And so the state law changed at one point, clarified some things, and our city ordinance did not. And so one of the things we're going to fix next month is our city ordinance. And we're not going to pay for those healthcare costs or that pension secretary out of there anymore, even though that money was coming from property tax dollars. So we're going to shift that and put it in the police and fire budgets. So we're still going to be paying for it with the same funds, but it's going to be paid for out of a different budget. So it makes it even cleaner on the police and fire pension side. We won't have to put those property tax dollars in there anymore. We'll put them somewhere else and pay for those same expenses. But in the pension fund will just be what we pay out to them in pension payments and what we receive back from the state. So it'll make it a little clearer, it'll be even more transparent than it was. But once again, these things started before I took office and we've just continued them. But then we feel like, okay, we hear your concerns, even though you're gonna be guaranteed your pension, we're gonna make sure that it's even cleaner and clearer. That's really all it boils down to.
I wanted to ask you too, just kind of popped up in our newsroom this morning about some crime going on in terms of people setting cars on fire, but this isn't a repetitive thing. This is just something that just happened.
Out of the blue the other night, we had several cars that were unlocked. People must have been walking around doing whatever they were doing, whether they were stealing something or just trying to be vandals and set these fires. They set several cars on fires up in the north end of town. And so we've got our arson investigators and police are working on all that, and I'm sure they will bring some people, you know, hold them accountable for that.
Advice to residents, I guess, lock your car.
Always lock your car, even if it's in your own driveway. I've heard issues in the best neighborhoods to some of our more challenged neighborhoods that you can't just leave your car unlocked because, you know, somebody may be walking through or passing, looking for those cars that are unlocked, and those are the ones that seem to get targeted. We don't have a lot of break-ins of where they're busting glass or, you know, busting locks on it. They don't mess with that. They're looking for cars that are unlocked where they can just get in there and see what they can take.
And this wasn't like targeted toward a group of people
that. It's just a general vicinity. Yeah. And we're guessing just some kids were out doing something they shouldn't have been doing, and then it escalated into this.
Hey, I just see a report came out, I think today, about Indiana State boosting the local economy by $334 million from a study. But that probably doesn't surprise you.
No, they're a huge economic impact. You know, numbers are numbers. People can come up with them a lot of different ways, but we know they employ a tremendous amount of people. They obviously have, their student population has increased dramatically over the last 10 years. And so all of that turns right back around and contributes to our economy, our community, in such a positive way that they're a huge economic engine.
So I've also been asking in June through our different weeks of different mayors, different cities, about July 4th activities. Mm-hmm. So what's going on in Terre Haute this year?
Well, we have their Horseman's Parade is downtown. So that's a very large parade with horses and wagons and that kind of a thing that they've done for many, many years. And then at Fairbanks Park in the evening, we'll have a variety of activities. The Terre Haute Concert Band will be there, a variety of food vendors and other kinds of activities going on. And then the fireworks display on Wabash River there at Fairbanks Park. So we're looking forward to another successful 4th of July. We usually draw a huge crowd. We expect that again this year and just really looking forward to it.
And before we go, I guess just, you know, those top kind of three things that the mayor's working on here in Terre Haute. I think we already know the budget.
The budget's
always
a big one.
That's always the top three, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And ever since the tax caps have come in, it's even become more critical. We spend so much more time on that. Unfortunate, but that's what we have to do. Things have changed a lot. And so that's a huge focus. And then our road projects will be getting underway here very soon. So all the things that we've talked about here on this show and through the other media sources, we've got several significant projects going on. And then I guess that third thing is we're going to keep, you know, working on public safety. When we kind of have issues, we had a big fire in a warehouse here a Saturday ago, and we had this issue with the arsonist up here on the north end of town. It just keeps us on our toes because we want this to be a safe community for everybody. And so we're going to continue to work on public safety and be the best we possibly can to keep our community safe.